Hello, small group leaders. Welcome to our Pearlside Small Group Leaders podcast, where we help you lead your small group. This is Pastor Tim, and today we have a fun, special downtown congregation edition because alongside with me, co-hosting, we have our minister and education director, Lexin Lomibao.
Hello.
Well, today we begin a mini-series. We're talking about Set Together. And it's about relationships. And real quick, before we get into the guide, small group leaders, as a church, we always try to have extra resources for us to be able to minister to the people in our group. And I'm excited to announce that through our Life Matters ministry, at the end of February, on February 24th, we have Pastor Keith and Jennifer Towers coming to do a marriage conference and workshop. And it's going to be great. And the good news is even those people who are engaged can come through and be blessed by it. There's more information on our website. And the week after that, on March 2nd, we have our parenting workshop as well. So all that information is on our website, pearlside.org/lifematters. And also you can register through our app. Well, today we are getting into our series Set Together, and this is week one. And we just came out of our series Set Apart. And the whole idea of Set Apart, tying the two series together, is that as we grow in holiness because of who God is, we are set apart for His will and His purpose. Well, part of His will and His purpose is for us to have godly relationships, to be blessed through our relationships, and to find joy through our relationships. But the reality of things, you know, when we look at our marriage, we look at our relationships with our children, our coworkers, even sometimes our best friends, there can be strain, there can be division, there can be a lot of conflict. And so we wonder why. Why is there so much conflict? Why are there so many problems in our relationships? And a huge reason for that is because of selfishness. Mm. Now, I know you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out. Like, we all know that, right? Yep. Like, it's selfishness that divides. But God's will, through His holiness, is for us to be unified. Mm. And unity really comes through a key word, and that's humility. Mm. Humility is almost like a cuss word. Like, we don't want to hear it. We know that's oftentimes the key, but we don't want to embrace it. But really, the key thing that we're going to see in Philippians 2, the key to humility and the foundation of humility is having a heart that values others through serving one another. Mm. That is how valuing other people comes forth. And so as we get further in this discussion today, we're going to break down how we can practically serve the people around us. But I want to leave it with this thought, is that it's really the example of Jesus. Mm. You know, God is not asking us to do anything that He didn't first do Himself. Yep. Jesus came not to domineer over us His holiness and His perfection. Rather, He came taking the form of a servant and all the way through to the cross, the ultimate act of service for us. And the amazing picture is that just as God raised Him and lifted Him up from the grave, God will exalt us. As we lower ourselves in humility, God lifts us up. Mm. And we get to also experience that in our relationships. And so in our guide, there's three types of relationships that we can walk our members through in just examining how are we, what is our role in our current relationships, whether at work or in our homes. That's receiving, which says, I value relationships based on what I get out of it. So even as a father, right, I can treat my kids that way, that what do my kids give me, right? Mm. Sometimes we look to our kids and, you know, that whole cliche thing, we live vicariously through our kids. So even though on the outside it looks like I want my kids to succeed well in education or in athletics, is it because of what I get out of it? Mm. So that's a receiving relationship, and that's not healthy.
Yeah.
And then what God would want ultimately is a mutual relationship. But that shouldn't be our mentality, is I expect an even give and take in my relationships. Mm. So even though that's idealistic, oftentimes it doesn't work out that way because we are not a good judge of how much we get and how much we give. Mm. And so oftentimes when we look at it that way, we always feel robbed. And then we get bitter or we get disenfranchised. So we look at Jesus. What was His example? Because in Philippians 2, it says, have the same mindset as Christ. And that was a giving relationship. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Jesus gave his life. So that says, I give regardless of what I get back and trust God to meet my needs. And so we have Philippians 2 that we can walk through in our groups. And then also 1 John chapter 4, which talks about love. So the whole idea is that as we give, as we serve, it has to be rooted in love. Mm. If not, it will become this bitter, burdensome serving. Mm. So with that being said, Lexan, what stands out to you from the past weekend sermon or the discussion guide that we just walked through?
Yeah, no, thank you for that very well articulated explanation, Pastor Tim. I think for me, what stuck out is the fact that Jesus said is that in Philippians chapter 2, humility is looking at the other's interests as more important than your own. Mm. And I think when it comes to humility, it's not about thinking of ourselves as less, but it's thinking of ourselves even less than that. So I think that even in regards to that, it's about seeing people and seeing how we can serve them, not about what we can receive from them. And we know we live in such an individualistic society, or in other words, a me, what can I get type of society, when in other words, we got to have a collectivist mindset where we got to ask, how can we give back mm-hmm. to the community? Yeah, how right, can we give to right. the people around us? So that's kind of my main takeaway.
That's great. And, you know, even in Philippians 2, talking about humility, what do you think is a key aspect of what humility is?
I think humility is even giving when you don't feel like giving.
Yeah, right.
And even one specific example I can share is obviously I'm married, and we know that we talked about the mm-hmm. marriage workshop. But I mean, one example is even when it comes to serving my wife. Mm-hmm. There was one moment where I'm Filipino, if obviously you can't see, but most Filipinos keep their Christmas decorations up until February. Now, my wife, she's different. So she wanted the Christmas tree to be taken out, and she woke up in a bad mood and she said, I want this thing out now. And honestly, I didn't like the way she said it, and I didn't feel like giving or serving or helping her out. But in that moment, by the Holy Spirit, I felt convicted and saying, no, you got to love this person by serving this person. Mm-hmm. And when I served them, even when I didn't feel like it, the feelings of gratitude and joy eventually followed. And that actually helped us and helped prevent a higher conflict from escalating yeah. in that moment. So
you're growing as a husband, Lexan.
Hey, thank you, Pastor Tim.
You know, my wife's Filipino too, and it's the first example of what you shared. Our Christmas tree is still up, and it's February. I'm so embarrassed. It's in the windows. The neighbors can see it. I'm like, oh, well, you know, Filipino pride. Let's That's right. represent.
That's right.
So as we get into our next bullet point, and you know, Lexan, thank you for leading us off with that example with, you know, averting that conflict with your wife. And that was through humility. Yeah. That was through being able to serve your wife in that aspect. It says here, describe a situation where spirit of humility and serving would likely have changed a relational conflict. What are some lessons you learned? So small group leaders, as you navigate this question with your group members, one of the things that I want to encourage you to help them to see, and we see it even in the beginning of Philippians 2, it says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit. So what scripture is saying here is, be grateful for the things that you do have. Don't focus on the things you don't have. Mm. And so even as we reflect on these situations where we were prideful or selfish and it did not work out for the better in our relationships and it adversely affected us, and people are still trying to navigate this. Mm. I think it's important that we readjust our lens. And as people maybe are complaining about another person, maybe it's a boss or a spouse or their child, help shift it. Help them have that lens of gratitude. Well, what are you grateful for with this person? Because oftentimes what we focus on, it magnifies.
Yep.
And so we talked about our spouses a moment ago, and I think that's a big one, that even in relationships with our significant other, we forget about the very thing that got us attracted to them. And then relationships end in divorce because all we can think about are the things that we no longer like about them. Mm. And so if we focus on those kind of things, the things we don't like, it makes it very difficult to serve, to give. But once we have an attitude of gratitude, it changes it.
Mm. Yeah, you know, that's a great point. And you know, to even add on to that, Pastor Tim, I think you mentioned it in your message, but even when it comes to serving your spouse, sometimes we serve our spouse for selfish reasons, where we serve them so they can tell us how awesome we are.
Yeah.
But in reality, when we serve, we should be serving because ultimately we're serving Christ when we serve our spouse.
Right.
And in doing so, even if we don't get the applause or you're so amazing, we still know that God is going to provide for our needs when we sow by serving and giving.
That's right. So I just want to reiterate that group leaders, that's another important aspect too. If people kind of, you know, have that attitude in your group saying, well, that person doesn't deserve for me to give. Like, why? Why should I do that? Well, it's because ultimately when we serve people, because God cares about people and they're created in His image, we need to have the underlying foundation that as I serve this person, as I humble myself before this person, I'm not doing it for the sake of that person. Really, it's for God.
Right.
And so this last bullet point here says, what are some specific acts of service you can begin doing for the relationships in your life in which you hope to see a greater health and unity? So I just want to point out, leaders, it doesn't have to be just relationships on the rocks.
Yep.
You know, difficult relationships. But this is just for all areas. Like for me as a parent, I have four kids. And two are teenagers, two are younger in grade school. I want to see health and continued growth in my relationships with my kids. I talk to them.
Yeah.
I feel like we have a great relationship. I hope they would say the same, but nonetheless, I do want to see that continue to grow. And so that's a great question that I'm asking myself as a father. How can I practically continue to serve them in ways that demonstrate the love of God? But also, even though I'm a father and positionally in the household, I am higher than them. But just like Jesus came on this earth being fully God, He lowered Himself as a servant. So what are some practical things I can do in the home to continue to serve my kids? You know, and so practically, like, they love boba. I don't really care about boba because it really hurts my wallet.
Yeah, it does.
And it takes time to get in the car, to drive. But that's one of the ways I serve my kids is by having boba time. But by serving them through that, it's a time for me to continue to express love to them, to bond. And so this is a really rich question that hopefully, you know, people in your groups, leaders, will be able to specifically activate faith in these areas as answers come forth.
Absolutely. Thank you for that, Pastor Tim. And even some other ones for people who aren't married or who don't have kids. If you have a friend that you feel like the Holy Spirit is prompting you to send an encouraging text message to, that's another way to cultivate unity and health in that relationship. Or maybe just giving them a phone call, asking them how they're doing, even if it's a 5-minute conversation. Because we know that if something is really important to us, we'll see it in our schedule.
Yes.
Now, sometimes we get so busy because we focus on the wrong things that our relationships fall to the wayside. So sometimes just doing something simple as that can help foster relational health and unity in those specific relationships.
Thank you, Lexan, for sharing that practical example. And so, small group leaders, this is a great opportunity to even help your members think of other examples. And so some of these may include even just simple words of encouragement. You know, sometimes people don't have extra money to give or waste time to serve, but you can always send a word of encouragement through text message, a scripture. But sometimes it is practically an act of service or giving financially, buying a meal for someone that just got laid off. There's various ways. But you know what really helped me is serving within the church. It got me in the attitude of serving, in the mode of serving, learning how to serve with the proper heart. And so even in your group discussions, leaders, it's a great opportunity to ask who would be encouraged to serve that's not yet serving within the church, because our church is growing. And there's so many opportunities for us to jump on various teams that are looking to grow those teams. And so that, as always, the next steps on our website, you could activate it immediately. Post-discussion, just go right up to those members that are yet serving. And this is a perfect time to ask them to be a part of a team. But looking forward to next week. There may be some things that come forth in your small group discussions where, what do I do with the relationship that's just one way? You know, so much of today's discussion is about how we can give, how we can be humble, how we can serve. But the other person, they just take. And so that's where leaders encourage people to come back, because it's only a 2-week series. Yep. So they miss 1 week, they miss 50%. And there's so much more we need to say next week in the upcoming discussion and in the sermon about how we can recognize when a relationship is toxic, and maybe at times some relationships need to end. And how can we do that in a godly way?
That's really good, Pastor Tim. So you definitely don't want to miss part two. But in conclusion, thank you so much, small group leaders, for everything that you do, for being in the trenches, for continuing to shepherd your people. So as you lead your small groups this week, make sure that we have a servant's heart ourselves so that we can exemplify that to the people we are shepherding. So thank you, small group leaders. We'll see you next week. God bless you.
God bless you.